We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
John Heyman, his regular weekly spot. He's with us right now. You know, we were going to move you back to tomorrow, but we decided to keep you here today because of all the stuff that is not baseball related that has gone on this week, specifically the massive dysfunction that is the New York Jets. I'm sure that you're somewhat aware of that. So I just want to let you know, but because you're John Heyman.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, and I sympathize with you being such a massive Jets fan. It's quite a sad time. Very bad.
Yes, it is.
They're even going downhill. I didn't think it was possible, but I actually think they are going downhill at this point.
Well, you're not, and John Heyman is brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips haircuts app, and check in. And my brother Supply, New York's number one source for ICF, PTAX, water source, heat pumps, and fan coil.
You know what? I'm going to make you even more annoyed, Joe. So last night, John, I love to, like, put multiple baseball games on. Got all the big setups. So I put on Brewers-Phillies, right? And I'm watching Gio Gonzalez pitch five and a third innings, allow one run. He's made four starts. He's 2-0. He lowered his ERA to 1.69.
Unbelievable.
I just want to let that marinate. Gio Gonzalez.
Unbelievable.
We're fine, the Mets said.
We're fine.
Jason Vargas. Right. Gio Gonzalez in a National League East stadium, Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park, that amazing lineup.
Right.
5 1/3 innings, one run.
Amazing.
His ERA is 1.69. John?
You say unbelievable, but it's really not. Just look at the back of his baseball card. This is a very good pitcher. So I believe it. The guy's a good pitcher. I don't understand. The unbelievable part is that the Mets did not want to sign him. This is a guy who, as you guys pointed out time and again, performs his best at Citi Field. And he's been a very reliable pitcher. And the reasons given were, we don't think he's much better than Vargas, and we like our depth. And I think they went 0-2 on those two assumptions.
Vargas is on the injured list. Wilmer Font and Drew Gagneau is their depth, basically.
Flexen and Oswalt, and maybe somebody will develop, but they're certainly unproven. That's about the best we can say for them at this point.
And I'll tell you right now, yesterday I was so ticked. Well, beside the Jet disaster, I was ticked off because the Mets punted this game yesterday. You know, here you have a situation where you could have, on full rest, pitched Zach Wheeler yesterday, and you would have pitched Big Jake today. And these games, and you got Miami coming up, okay? So let's not hold Wilmer Font for the crummy Marlins. We can't have him go 8 days without pitching. God forbid we do that. And we got to pitch him against Washington and basically say, here, Washington, win the game. I mean, what is that?
Well, you know, I the way Wilmer Font pitched, I don't know if he could even beat the Marlins. And that's one of the worst offenses I've seen in decades. They just don't have the depth. They don't have the depth. That's the problem.
No,
they don't have it.
They're
top heavy. They're great starters at the top and not enough pitchers. And he should have known that. I don't know why they were trumpeting their depth in spring training when we were kept suggesting Gio Gonzalez. Because
they
certainly are not, as we said, proven.
They're the Mets, bro.
Think about this. You need 6, 7, 8 starting pitchers. Going into the start of spring training, the Yankees' sixth starter, not their fifth starter, their sixth starter was Domingo Herman. He is now 8-1 with a 2.50 ERA. He is a legitimate American League Cy Young contender. I can't believe I just uttered that statement.
That's true.
But he is. Guy could start the freaking All-Star game. That was their depth. And that's why the Yankees walked away from Gio Gonzalez, and we won't rip them for it, because Domingo Herman's pitching every 5 days.
Yep. Right. Absolutely. The Yankees have found some gems that he came in the Prado trade, which people didn't love at the time. And
amazing.
He's developed into a viable starter. They got Voit for nothing. They got Ursula for nothing. So Yeah, I mean, that's a big reason why they are, what are they, 9 over at this point?
Ten over.
I'm behind. Now, a little bit of that is the schedule. They played Baltimore an awful lot. But, I mean, considering their injuries, a fantastic job by the Yankees.
And you know, it's unbelievable what the Yankees do. I mean, it doesn't matter who plays for them. It's like they went to Lourdes. They got, you know, the sun is shining. If the Mets had the injuries that the Yankees had, they'd be 10 games under 500.
Absolutely. Most teams would. Yeah, got to give the Yankees credit for that. And, you know, I think they should have stuck with Gio, too. But you're right, they have Herman. They also had that funny contract where he got $500,000 per start. I don't think that affected the Yankees, but it certainly was a lot of money per start. But, you know, I you can't fault the Yankees for letting him go because they have the answers. The Mets, on the other hand, everybody was telling them to sign Gio, and they were not listening.
Screaming about it. Yeah. Telling
screaming,
them screaming.
You guys, right on the top of it. No question about it.
The knock on the Yankees, and they're getting away with it because they keep winning, and at the end of the day, that's what matters, is what they're saying and not saying about some of these injuries. I thought Aaron Boone, and we went through this before, Aaron Boone's explanation for what's going on with Giancarlo Stanton, to me, created more mystery than anything. There's something with his shoulder. It is, quote, whatever. Guys have different stuff going on with their blank. Like, he doesn't.
Right.
That's the one knock on the Yankees right now. And I think they're able to get away with it because they win every day. So it's like, whatever. Who cares? Giancarlo.
Right.
No big deal.
Yeah, I think they are. They obviously are. I mean, and I think Stanton is going to be okay. I think he will. I'm not sure why the explanation was so fuzzy, but from what I understand, I think they feel okay about Stanton. I mean, the ones they're not really sure about, and I don't know that we've heard a timetable, and there may not be a timetable, is Tulo and Bird. And, of course, I mean, Ellsbury, we pretty much can assume he's not coming back.
Right, but who cares about Tulo and Bird?
Tulo and Bird are the two that I think we're worried about. Hicks just got back. I think Stanton will be okay. That was an odd explanation, but I think he's all right.
I don't think there's too many Yankee fans worried about Tulo and Bird.
Probably not.
We're talking, of course, to the great John Heyman. Speaking of worried, when do I start to really panic about Robbie Cano? When do I start to do that? When am I allowed?
Yeah, I don't know about panicking yet.
Well,
no.
I'm close.
You're close. Well, you're close. Well, yeah, I could see that. I you know, it's a quarter of the season, so, you know, I think, you know, isn't Memorial Day the
then I can panic. A week and a half from now,
that's
I can panic.
That's a week.
A week and a half, I can panic. The guy's back. Get a hit off a lefty. Evan could get him out right now. Yeah. Like, to a baseball. I mean, what are we doing?
Memorial Day's a little earlier this year, but then again, the season started earlier, too, so that's fair.
It's a week from Monday.
I think a quarter is a pretty decent sample size, if you ask me.
Right, I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm not panicking about Cano at this point,
because
you can.
A Met fan.
I'm gonna give you the go ahead to panic as a Memorial Day.
I pray that this is not Carlos Baerga, Robbie Alomar Part 3. You know?
Yeah, it's been a second base. It's been unbelievable, right? They bring in these second basemen with big reps,
right?
And
yes,
well, he's got five years to go too.
That's the scariest part about it.
Can we get him some steroids?
We'll supply it.
No, that was an accident.
Even if he didn't do it, I would get it just to help him.
Well, hold on. That was an accident, John?
Come on, John.
Well, I like to give people the benefit of that. Great guy.
It was an accident.
Joe and I need him to hit.
We'll help him out.
That's like saying it was an accident that that Christopher Johnson got rid of Mike McCagney. No, it was an accident.
Fair comment. I gotta agree with you on that.
Let's start a rumor. Let's start a rumor that makes sense. All right? Let's do it right now.
What might that be?
So Joe and I were talking the other day, and I was big on the Nationals at the beginning of the year. I will freely admit I thought they'd win the division. And right now we're a quarter into the season. I think I'm dead wrong. I think they stink. Now.
Let's hope they stink today.
I hope so. If I'm right and they stink and they're this bad, a couple of days before July 31st, the true and only trade deadline, the man I'm about to talk about turns 35 years old.
Wow.
He's still very good. And trust me, teams would line up for him. I don't care how much he's owed. Will the Nationals move Max Scherzer to the New York Yankees? Go.
Well, he certainly is potentially in play. I'll put it that way. Something Josh Lew and I talked about on our weekly podcast, Big Time Baseball, was the potential.
Boy, I tell you, you so beautifully went. How you got that plug in there was brilliant.
I'm getting good at this. I'm a newspaper guy, and I should be in promotion.
You with us every week. Come on, come on.
I'm in promotion now. Yeah.
There you go.
We talked about the potential this week of a sale by the Nats, and that was one of the names mentioned. Doolittle, Scherzer, and Rendon were the names.
Rendon.
Can we get Rendon? How about Rendon to the Mets?
Rendon is a free agent. They're not getting it done.
We'll give him Frazier.
Despite the nice talk he had with the owner, there's not going to be a deal. They're nowhere close. I heard it was a minimalist offer, so that doesn't sound too good. You know, they have that Arenado figure, I'm sure, in mind. He got 2.7 for 2.34. Washington's not going there. They've got Mark Lerner, great guy, but the son running the team a little differently than Ted Lerner did, and not apt to sign him to that big deal. He could potentially be out there as well, but Scherzer, you're right. Two more years to go. It's possible. Strasburg, I think, has got kind of a poison pill at the end. $45 million salary in his last year.
Well, John,
that's a tough one.
That's the problem. I did some research on this, and Max Scherzer's got 2 years left, age 35, 36. Mm-hmm. He's making, and you may not get this reference, he's making John Wall money. Next year, he's going to make, you ready for this? Max Scherzer, great pitcher.
Right.
$42 million. Yeah. And the year after that is going to make $42 million because that's what the Nationals do. This is the kind of contracts that they hand out.
$42 million.
Would that be him?
No, I don't think I think his contract, he had deferred, right? I thought it was not that. I mean, he's paid for many years, I think.
Does that work then? If money is deferred, the Nationals have to pay it, not the team that acquires him?
If it's deferred, the team that acquires him will pay it at the deferral time. He's going to get 40. I don't think he's cashing 42. The Strasburg one looks to me, at least from what I could tell on COTS, I don't have the contract in front of me, it looks like it's actually $45 million for that final year. Scherzer is not getting kind of money. He's making, it's going to be $30 million
Which is understandable because that's like the
Verlander
going rate.
It's like people didn't want to take Verlander because he was making around close to 30. And so they didn't do it. The one team that did is very thankful that they did. And Scherzer's similar type thing, a comparable career, comparable age. I think he's still pitching very well at this point, though.
Okay.
So he'll have suitors.
You're right. Here's the way it's going to work. He'll make $35 million, and then there'll be deferred money paid out with interest in seven $15 million installments from July 1st, 2022 to 2028. That is still a fortune.
Well, that sounds more like a Mets deal with all the deferrals, right? He'll be on the Bonilla plan.
But who's smarter than Bobby Bonilla? I mean, come on.
Max Scherzer.
Is it Bonilla payday coming up? July 1st, right?
God bless Bobby Bonilla. I mean, really.
Now he got a job at the union. He said, hey, look at this contract I got myself. Pretty good, right? And they hired him.
So do you think that teams would give up a lot for Max even with that money?
I think they probably would. I think that Verlander had a little bit of an injury and a little bit of a slump and then he passed through waivers. I don't believe Scherzer would pass through waivers. So I think he would get some. I think you would have to give up something good for him.
Interesting.
That'd be my opinion. We'll see.
Right. John Heyman, of course, is with us right now. Let's go back to the Yankees for a second. I mean, it's just mind-boggling what they've been able to do. Can they keep this up in your mind, John?
I think they've benefited. I mean, I don't want to say anything negative because you've got to give them an incredible amount of credit to have 13 guys who've been on the DL and not just any guys, stars, and to have this kind of record. But, I mean, they have played Detroit. They've played White Sox. They've played Baltimore several times. So I do think they need to get some of these guys back. They're going to be a much better team with Severino and Didi and Stanton. You may not care about Ellsbury or Bird or Tulo, but they are still missing some big stars. So I think for them to be this type of team with a 620 winning percentage, they need to be at full strength long term.
Yeah, I think eventually, I mean, you got to get your guys back. They've done an incredible job, though, in that they've given themselves a cushion. Because I thought when all these guys went down, John, just play 500 ball until you're healthy. And they fattened up. I mean, they're 10 games above 500, so they have given themselves quite a cushion.
And the Red Sox
good.
Are making
they have a very good pen. Herman, as you said, has done very well. They've had these fill-ins who've come cheap, who've been good. Ursula, I mean, Sanchez has hit much better than he did in the previous year. you know, they.
LeMahieu's been very good.
Oh, he's been great.
Oh, yeah. LeMahieu, fantastic player. You got to give them credit on that one. I don't think he had a huge market, and they stepped up and gave him a nice deal. And he's a very good all-around player. Not a lot of home runs, but he's terrific defensively, great for a team.
Red Sox are making a run now, starting to play
well. They've been impressive. It's amazing to me to see that plus-minus be way over 500 at this point. The way they started, I think it's tough. It's a hangover after you win with 108 wins and 119 wins. They won't admit it, but they were not themselves. And Sales right now pitching better than anybody. He was worse than anybody for the first few weeks, and now he's better than anybody. So once Price gets back and going, I mean, they're a force to be reckoned with, no question about that. I still think Houston may be the best team, but obviously Boston.
Tough to argue they're not right now.
Oh, my God. They never lose now.
Yeah. And Altuve's on the injured list, too. Doesn't even matter.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Houston is good. They're good. Altuve's not doing anything right. And Bregman's a superstar. And Springer, fantastic. They got some big stars on that team. Verlander, that was a great move. And they called up a good young pitcher in Corbin Martin, and they've got another one, Whitley, who's going to be coming up in a year or so.
I don't want to make accusations again against the Astros. I just like to notice things and then just give it to you, and you guys can determine what you want. So there was this, and I would say, decent relief pitcher by the name of Ryan Pressly, who's with the Minnesota Twins. Last year, the Astros traded for Ryan Pressly. He gets to Houston. And down the stretch of the year, pitches 23 innings and allows 2 runs. That's a 0.77 ERA. Okay, fine. Well, that's a great deal. This season, Ryan Pressly's their main 8th inning guy. He's pitched in 19 games. He's given up 9 hits. He's walked nobody. Okay? There have been 9 base runners against him in 19 innings. He's not allowed a run. He has a 0 ERA. So 0.77 in 26 games, a 0 ERA in 17 games. That is now 43 games as a Houston Astro. He has pitched 52 innings, and he's allowed 2 runs. Your thoughts?
Well, I only have positive. Wait, did you have some negative thoughts about
that? I just think that's insane. Do you not think that's insane, Joe?
No, it's very insane.
Okay.
Give him credit. When they signed him, they gave him an extension, a reliever, a middle reliever getting an extension. It was something like $19 million for 2 years. I'm like, what? It turns out that's a bargain. Well, the guy's fantastic.
I'm doing the math. His career as a Houston Astro now in 43 games. That's a decent sample size. In 42 innings, he has a 0.43 earned run average.
That is unbelievable.
Terrific. Incredible. Yeah. Incredible pitcher. He's not even the closer. Give him credit. I recall when he was traded, he was doing well for Minnesota. It wasn't like he was nothing, but it wasn't like this.
He had a 3.5 ERA.
What did he have?
He had a 3.5 ERA. I said he was okay.
Three and a half. He brought something decent back. Those people liked him.
What's going on? Why don't we just get down to it? What the hell is going on?
He's improved.
That's not human. That's not human.
It happens.
Oh, does it? Why does it always happen in Houston? Any reason?
It's not even always happened. It just recently has it always happened in Houston.
In the last 3 years, it's always happening in Houston.
Let's not get crazy.
Well, the pitching coach is very good. Brent Strom, who was a pitcher back when I was a kid, basically.
Wasn't very good either, but nevertheless.
He's about 70 years old, I think.
Isn't it amazing how, like, these pitching coaches that couldn't pitch are actually good pitching coaches?
Yeah.
Like Mike Maddox is like a big-time pitching coach.
Right.
Well, that's true of the head coaches, too. I mean, if you were that good and you were an all-star hitter or a pitcher and you made $10 or $15 million a year, you're not traveling around the major leagues and spitting tobacco and patting guys on the butt for, I don't want to say it's a pittance, but compared to what you made, you're not doing it.
Charlie Lau, Walt Riniak.
But that's true in basketball, too, right? Look at the NBA coaches or any other sport, right? There aren't usually a star player who's a good coach.
You're right.
No. Joe Torre was probably Dusty Baker. They were the best, playing managers that we've seen lately.
Is it him because he was, like you said, first of all, he's not the youngest guy in the world. He's in his 70s, right?
About 70.
He's 70 years old. I'm looking it up right now. Before that, was a nondescript coach. Like, what happened to him? I'm accusing him, too.
Well, he got a chance, and he's with a big league team with a talent. Where a nondescript coach. He was in the major leagues for a long time. I don't recall.
Okay.
I think he was a minor league guy.
I don't know anything specific. I just like giving you the facts.
But we don't know. We can't grade what kind of talent he had in the minor leagues.
Well, but you could be like in the NFL. I mean, you could have Coach Peyton Manning for like half a season, and you're a quarterback guru.
I know what you're getting at there. I know a little bit, just enough to be dangerous.
You're a quarterback guru.
Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind here.
No, you. I don't blame you.
Thank God I'm playing golf today. And that one of the guys I bet on in PGA is leading right now. So I feel a little better.
A little better. I don't blame you. I mean, I really gave up on the Jets maybe 35 years ago, 40 years ago. I can't imagine the suffering you've gone through. My decision to give up on them was absolutely the right one. But
yes, it was a brilliant move. That was one of the most brilliant moves you have. It's the only move you've made that's more brilliant than that was coming on our show on a weekly basis.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing how many people stop me on the street now. Before, I was not completely. Right. I was like Brent Strom, puttering around the minor leagues in my 60s. And now look at him. And now look at me. So thank you, guys. But I don't blame you with the Jets. Just terrible. To take the word of Peyton Manning, ridiculous, irrelevant. Talk to people who knew, who saw Adam Gase. I mean, I'm in Miami. I'm not close to the team or anything. He's bad. He's a bad coach.
Heyman knows.
Thank you, John.
Heyman knows.
He's a bad coach, and he's a weird guy.
Yeah, he's a very weird guy. He's a scary guy.
Weird kid.
I got a stomachache again.
One last thing, John. The Bumgarner no-trade list is obviously strategic. I think it's obvious when you look at the list. It includes the Yankees. It doesn't include the Mets. Again, strategic teams he may actually be traded to. What is his agent and he looking for? Just some extra cash, a long-term contract? What do they want to use that power of a no-trade to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a new contract would be the optimal. He's been good about it. He didn't say anything publicly, but he switched agents a couple of times. So you know he wasn't too happy with the original contract. He obviously outperformed it by eons. It happens. You know, Sale, I don't blame him for signing it at the time. You know, you've just come up to the major leagues. You had a good first year or two, and they throw $30 million in front of you. It's pretty hard to turn it down. But obviously, if he had not done that, he could have by now signed a $200 million deal. So I think optimally it would be a deal contract, because to do it for $1 million or $2 million, what is that exactly? To me, he's got to accept a trade anyway, because he turns down a trade, he stays with San Francisco, then he's got the qualifying offer on his back, and we've seen what that's done to Keuchel and Kimbrel. So he really has to accept it no matter what. You know, I mean, I'm sure he can get a little bit. He probably can't get that contract out of it, but he could probably get. He probably could get something. Didn't Brandon Phillips get something? I mean, he was going to Atlanta and hometown, and he's not so great anymore. I mean, he was a good player one time, and he still got something. So he can get something out of it. But to me, he has to accept a trade. He cannot turn down a trade and then have that qualifying offer affect his next deal. So ultimately, it doesn't matter. He's going to have to accept wherever they trade him.
You mentioned Keuchel and Kimbrel. Anything on them? I guess nothing till after the draft, right?
I really think at this point it's going to be draft day,
right?
And that's when he can do it. I mean, I've heard Tampa now is interested in Keuchel. They're serious. They want to do something that we know. They've already been connected to Kimbrel. They're obviously not near the luxury tax threshold. They're at the very bottom, so they don't have to worry about that. So, I think it's going to be draft day for both these guys.
John, always a pleasure.
John, it's always a pleasure, John.
Same here, guy. Joe, I'm so sorry about this. It's been a rough week.
It's been rough. All the love to you, though, John.
Same here, guys.
All right, man.
The great John Heyman talking baseball with him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.